Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that? Somebody once told me the world is going to roll me, which I thought was rude. Welcome to the eventing title Danny Palmer Show. Yeah, man, that Smash Mouth singer, that sucks. He died of liver failure? I should look things up before I just like start talking into a microphone about them. You know what I mean? Look, this isn't the fucking CBS Evening News. Everybody relax. Thank you for listening to the fucking pod, John Kidd. I wonder if people that have never listened to this before are like, "What? Why does he say John all the time? It's just fun to say John." Do you guys ever watch CBS News or CBS Sunday Morning with Jane Pauley? I'm like, it sounds like a nerd thing, you know? I'm like, is this something that people in their 70s do, like in Sarasota on their like back patio near a pond where there's like one alligator? Or is it like something that everybody does? But then there was this cute girl on Hinge that I saw, and she likes to watch it. And I was like, you know what? If a cute chick on Hinge watches it, then I'll watch it. So then I started watching one, and it started off with this story about lightning and how lightning works and stuff. And there's like positive charges and negative charges. And I was like, dude, this is pretty sick, to be honest. So maybe I'll get into that, you know? I mean, apparently there's no fall TV season, right? Unless it's like reality shows or news shows. So this is all we got, dude. Like, I feel like all of entertainment is just collapsing. There's like the writer's strike, the actor's strike, and then here in New York, and I know another like cities around the country, Spectrum or Disney pulled their networks off of Spectrum. So it's like there's no shows. There's no form of entertainment available except for stand-up comedy, and now you can't even watch some of the live sports that are actually on TV. So that's fun. But you know what, man? That just means you got to go find your own shit. You got to find your own fucking, find your own little slice of happiness, maybe inside your head. I went to the show on Saturday night here in New York. My friend Tom Delgado, he's really funny. He has this like monthly show. It's like about New York. It's like a whole New York show. He had a history professor from Columbia on the show. That professor's name is Frank Gurdy, G-U-R-I-D-Y. That guy was amazing. He did like Courtney McGinnis did stand up. Tom did stand up. Another guy did stand up. And then it was like a 30-minute sit down interview about kind of like the history of sport and politics and protest and how integral sport is in our lives and moving society forward with like protests and how like all of sports, all of life is politics, right? Sports, it's all fucking, it's all there in all the different realms. I don't know. It's just cool. I'm obviously not explaining it very well, as well as a history professor could, but I kind of like shit like that, you know? Sometimes I feel like when we walked into that show, me and my friend Zach McGovern, who's also a comic, former co-host of Space What the Fuck, Dude, we walked in and we saw Courtney and her husband, Casey James Salengo. They're both comics. You know, Courtney had a spot on the show, so it makes sense that she was there. And I always feel like a loser if I'm a comedian and I go to another comedian show and I'm not performing on the show. So I just immediately said to Courtney and Casey, I was like, you guys were losers. They're like, you're not losers. You're just here supporting your friend. That's a nice thing to do. I'm like, all right, well, still pretty sure, pretty convinced we're losers, dude. But because that show was so enriching and enlightening and entertaining and fun, and like when then we went out to have pizza afterwards with the professor and his wife and talked more about stuff. Do you like stuff? It was pretty cool, man. So, you know, it's always good to, for me personally, to just to challenge myself, get out of my comfort zone, stop being a little whiny little baby Danny, just sitting around watching sports highlights. Go do something. Go humiliate yourself in front of your friends and see how it goes, pal. Okay? You gotta get out there in the fucking mix, kid. I went to Mercy University down there in Macon, Georgia. We ended up playing, we played Ole Miss in football this past Saturday. That didn't go well. I think the final score was like 70-7. So on my college buddy group thread, one of them said, well, at least we've got them beat on academics. And I was like, do we? Do we have Ole Miss beat on academics? I kind of doubt it, dude. And then one of my friends said, I guarantee you Ole Miss has a different academic litmus test for five-star athletes. Like, can they fog a mirror? I thought that was pretty funny. Dude, playful insults are the best thing in the world. It's just fun to playfully insult your friend. There's no greater feeling, you know? I mean, you can get somebody a fucking, like, Valentine's Day card and be like, you're sweet and amazing. I really appreciate our friendship. You're always so supportive and kind and blah, blah, fucking blah. But if you're like, dude, that shirt looks stupid, you moron, that's a much more effective means of love, a more potent and true, authentic means of love. Not always, but sometimes. That's how I feel. Another thing I realized this weekend, you guys, if you know me, you know that I love Dua Lipa. Don't start now. I was rewatching that video. I've watched it thousands of times. And I was rewatching it, and I realized it's like an angry song, you know? And it's like, you think like a pop star, kind of a love. I guess it's obviously a breakup song, or just like, yeah, she's mad at her ex because he's like storming in on her new life. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting that like anger can be a source of a cathartic pop hit. Because when you're dancing around, if you're not really thinking about the words, you're like, dude, this song makes me want to party. But if you're listening to the words, you're like, dude, this guy sucks. Because I'll just tell you. She's at a club dancing with some guy, and her ex comes in. And she's like, don't start now. Don't start caring about me now. Walk away. You know how. Ooh, burn, dude. I love Dua Lipa. By the way, I love to say by the way in a conspiratorial tone when actually what I'm about to say is nothing even remotely conspiratorial, but it's just fun to say. You know, try that with your friends sometimes. Be like, by the way. Or another thing I like to do to people, I like to walk up to somebody and tap them on the shoulder, like standing right behind them, and be like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? As though you're like about to confront them with something that you're very angry at them about. And they're like, yeah, sure. And then you just go, I don't have anything to talk about. I live for that shit. I wish I could just retire and do that full time. Like when Bill Murray comes up to people and stands behind them and covers their eyes and they turn around, he just goes, they'll never believe you. That's great. That kind of activity is like, that's the purpose of my life at some point. That's all I want to do. I also like to think and talk about religion, you know, because I grew up religious, but now I'm not. But I think it's a pretty fascinating topic. And I don't like when, you know what I don't like, dude? I don't like when social constructs are very set against the life that I've chosen for myself. Like, I feel like society, people on LinkedIn, they always put like, if they're going to describe themselves, they're like, technical project manager and husband. It's like, dude. Okay, man, you got married to somebody. Like, does that mean that you're like more worthy of a job than people that didn't get married? Oh, I guess you exhibit more stability and you're not doing cocaine in your 50s in the Lower East Side. I'm not doing that, dude. That's insane. I'm not even in my 50s. Whatever, bro. But I just don't like that, you know? And I also don't like how, well, you know, society has changed so much. I feel like when I was a kid, it was America was much more religious, and it's less so now. But whenever I hear like a popular figure in culture talk about religion in an honest way that aligns with how I see it, I just find that like empowering, you know? Okay, anyway, so this is Aaron Rodgers' quote, new Jets quarterback, Jets, about religion. He says, I don't think it's very welcoming. Religion can be a crutch. It can be something that people have to make themselves feel better. And because it's sort of binary, it's us and them, it's saved and unsaved, it's heaven and hell, it's enlightened and heathen, it's holy and righteous and sinner and filthy. I think that makes a lot of people feel better about themselves. They say, oh, I've got Jesus and I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. And there's only 144,000 of us, I guess this is a Mormon comment, going even though there's 7 billion people on the planet. I don't know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet to a fiery hell. Like, what type of loving, sensitive, omnipresent, omnipotent being wants to condemn most of his beautiful creation to a fiery hell at the end of all this? Yeah. I can just hear my, like, college friends. My one friend, Clay, is, like, a part-time preacher. He's, like, a preacher. I don't know what the term is, dude. If it's not your primary source of income, you're, like, an associate preacher. I don't know. Anyways, I feel like if I read that to him, he would just have, like, an immediate and lengthy rebuttal. Actually, Clay has been on this podcast. I should have him back on to rebut that, but, you know, I kind of agree, dude. Like, any structure of thought, any system of thought that says, these people know the good thing, and you don't know the good thing, because we're better than you. It's almost like infantile. It's almost like toddlers on the playground. My toys are better than your toys, and you can't have my toys. You gotta go burn in hell. It's like, all right, dude. I think everybody's just making shit up. We're fucking hurling through space in a potential infinite number of universes, bro. Like, your little story isn't explaining everything to the world, dude. Well, my story tells me that I'm better than you. All right, I can just hear like all the people that are religious or disagree with me just like flipping the fuck out in their heads. I'm not even flipping the fuck out. They're just like, Danny's a moron. I'm gonna turn this podcast off and find a smarter one. I'm gonna go listen to Smartless. Isn't that one? That's something. Hidden Brain. I don't know, dude. I also like to come home from Black Hat, my weekly show that I run on Friday nights. I'm usually like kind of like wired because it's a lot of stimulation. You know, it's a good show. The comics are funny. I have a lot going on. I'm like trying to keep everybody entertained, like be a host of the room, buy people drinks, listen to the show. I got to clean up after. It's a lot. Sometimes comics will just like clear out, and then it's at the end of all that, all this hubbub of activity, it's just me walking home by myself. And then I just sit around and like listen to music and think and stuff sometimes. I mean, I go out too. I'm not a complete loser, you guys. You're 48. You're too old to be going out on the Lower East Side at midnight on a Friday. All right, honey. You know, could you chime in with some support sometimes? You don't deserve it. Fair. Anyway, the college football season is starting, and I love college football. I think it's the best sport, you know, like kind of neck and neck with baseball. Baseball is boring. Well, there's a clock now. It's a little better. But I just feel like college football is the best because it's like this is really it, the end of the road for most of the players. Like most college players, most football players overall don't make the NFL. And yet in college, they're willing to potentially like get paralyzed or killed like on a field, and yet they still do it. Like it's very akin to the improv principle I learned when I took a weekend workshop at Second City of today's the day. Today is the day the thing is going to happen. Whatever it is, the confrontation, the touchdown, the interception, whatever it is, today's the day. I'm going out there, I'm playing, and this might be the end of my college career. This might be the end of me playing sports on the field, but I'm going to fucking do it, you know? I kind of love that fearless attitude. Like in improv, that term is more from a perspective of, okay, you know, how are you going to make a scene? Like the scene's going to suck if you're just like shooting the shit with your boss at work in the scene, you know? But if you're quitting to your boss or you're telling your boss that you had an affair with someone on their team, like that's the day, right? That's today's the day. So that's kind of fun. I like that. Today's the day, motherfucker. Oh, that could be the title of this episode. Wow.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
Oh, I'm sure that'll skyrocket the downloads. At least you laughed during that one, hon. I love you. I love you too. Oh, shit, dude. I'm just going down my list of things to talk about on this week's podcast. And I usually start off by reading listener feedback, and I forgot. So here's one from a listener that's very nice to me. They say, I think it's about last week's episode. Oh, I know what they were talking about. They were talking about when I was on Oops, the podcast with Giulio Gallerati. Dude, that podcast, I think a lot of people like that episode. If you haven't heard it, it's on Oops, the podcast. It's the Danny episode. She said the whole thing was too funny and you have such amazing relationships with your friends. You said something that was so beautiful and spot on. I will tell you later. Wow, way to read that on your own pod, Danny. You're reading podcast feedback about a different podcast and you don't have all the information. Wow. Is this could be the world's worst slash best podcast? It's worse, hon. You're right. Sorry, hon. All right. And now we'll read a little fact about cucumbers. Cucumbers belong to the gourd or Cucurbitaceae family, along with pumpkins, squash, and melons. This low-calorie fruit, yes, it's a fruit, it has seeds and grows from a flowering plant, is chock full of water and other nutrients. Wait a minute, dude, did you know that water is a nutrient? Since when, dude? Including fiber, vitamins A, K, and C, potassium, and calcium. See, I kind of knew that cucumbers were mostly water, so then I'm like, well, it's just fucking water, dude. Is it even worth it?
Well, you know, the skin rinds will be healthy.
Sure, they're likely healthy. Maybe that's where the skin rind, maybe that's where all the fiber and vitamins A, K, and C come from, dude. I don't fucking know. One serving of cucumbers equals about 100 grams or one third of a medium-sized cucumber. That's kind of cool. Dude, I think it's sick to like eat healthy during the week, like eat salads and like bananas and blueberries and stuff. And then like as you're working throughout the day, like every now and again, just like pull up like a Healthline article about the health benefits of the food that you're eating and be like, nice, dude. Really giving my body some proper treatment during the workday. Good job, Danny. Time to buy another bottle of Tanqueray, kid. Have you guys heard about this? The Line City in Saudi Arabia. It's like under construction. It's like I don't know, like 100 kilometers long or something like that. If you type in the line city in Saudi Arabia on YouTube, you can see there's like a 45-minute video about it. There's also one that's like 3 minutes long. The one that's 3 minutes long is pretty insane. It's like this whole self-contained long city that's going to hold 9 million people. And I think it's like a series of repeating pods where you have everything you need in a very close proximity to you, including like drones that fly and deliver you food and shit. And then there's like beautiful nature outside of the thing. But I don't know, man. My friend Zach was saying, well, people are going to come and throw rocks at the outside. I'm like, they're going to throw rocks at this giant glass structure? Like, it's as tall as the Statue of Liberty. Like, I think like two people throwing rocks at the giant glass structure isn't really going to matter. Like, the security team will just be like, hey, can you guys just stop? Just stop. It's not doing anything. Like, it's really strong glass. Sorry about that, man. We'll head out. No, it's cool, dude. Just don't throw rocks at our giant city thing, bro. All right, thanks, dude. Have a good night. You too. You as well. Although they wouldn't be speaking in English. Maybe they would. You don't know what fucking language these fictional people speak, dude. Fuck you, dude. Here's a little science thing I read that I thought was kind of interesting and neato. Not sure why I'm talking in that voice now. Researchers in China have found evidence suggesting that 930,000 years ago, the ancestors of modern humans suffered a massive population crash. They point to a drastic change in the climate, that occurred around that time as the cause. Our ancestors remained at very low numbers, fewer than 1,280 breeding individuals. 1,280 breeding individuals sounds like a real gross porn. During a period known as a bottleneck, it lasted for over 100,000 years before the population rebounded. Dude, what the fuck? That's a long fucking time to be down to 1,000 humans. I feel like if you kind of looked around and counted, you could probably count to 1,280. Also, how the fuck did they know that it was down to 1,280, dude? If this was literally over 100,000 years ago, because that's how long it took for the population. Like, come on. How the fuck would you know that? Do you have, like, the bones of the 1,280 people? Why is it 1,280, not 1,270, not 1,290? This makes zero sense, dude. But I kind of like that, the bottleneck. It's kind of like, I think it would be a good movie. You just get the 1,280 people. They're in like a city like the Line in Saudi Arabia, and then they just fight to the death until there's one remaining, and then that guy just like jerks off in the corpses and kills himself. What the fuck? I don't know why I went there. I'm sorry, dude. I'll delete that. I'm not deleting it. Oh, okay. I guess I have two digs on religion this week. If I find nice things about religion, I'll share those too. But the second thing, I obviously should have categorized these together, but I didn't, so whatever. I just feel like a lot of times when I was going to church growing up during the services, they would treat like unusual coincidences with glowing reverence. They'd always have this story about like, and then the pearl was lost in the ocean for, I know this sounds like a Titanic story, but it's not. The pearl was lost and then it turned up in the grandfather's fucking box on the counter in the garage 40 years later, and it's like, that means that Jesus is real, dude. I feel like there's just so many of those stories, and it's just like, how about all the times when those coincidences didn't happen? You know, nobody talks about those during the services, when the 99 out of 100 times when there was an unusual coincidence, nobody gets inspired by that tale. They just get inspired by the unique outlier. It just seems like a semantic trick, and I don't buy it. Okay? Honey, why don't you be a little more positive during this podcast? I'm trying. It's just religion makes it difficult. Okay, that's fair. I'll suck your dick later. Thanks, honey. Okay, a few more things and we'll wrap it up. I think the rest of this shit is inspirational rather than questioning religion, dude. I was reading this article about this term allostasis. It's like A-L-L-O-S-T-A-S-S-A-S-I-S. Sorry. Allostasis. Stasis means still. Allo means a constant state of movement. Allostasis means, I don't know. You'll see. You'll get it from the context. Okay, this is a quote from the article. Given all this, simply normalizing and creating a steadfast expectancy around change goes a long way. There's basically saying, given all this, that change is permanent. The only thing permanent is change, right? So does realizing that the allostasis mindset doesn't ask us to sacrifice all agency. Rather, it asks us to partake in change by focusing on what we can control and trying to let go of what we can't. Kind of like the serenity prayer. When I catch myself resisting or shutting down in response to change, in my head, I say some version of the following. This is what is happening right now. I'm doing the best that I can. What, if any, skillful actions can I take? Do this repeatedly, and eventually you start to get better at it. I love that. Change occurs. You don't know how to handle all of it. You can't control things. What do? This is what's happening right now. I'm doing the best that I can. What, if any, skillful actions can I take? I mean, I try to think about that and apply that to like problems in life, problems at work, whatever. That's kind of great, you know? Okay, this author, whose name I obviously didn't capture, continues on. Navigating this gulf requires equal parts ruggedness and flexibility. To be rugged is to be tough, determined, and durable, to know your core values, what you stand for. To be flexible is to consciously respond to altered circumstances or conditions, to adapt and bend easily without breaking, to evolve, grow, and even change your mind. Put these qualities together and the result is a gritty endurance, one that helps you maintain your strong core even in fragile moments. It allows you to step into allostasis's cycle of order, disorder, and reorder, which is, of course, one and the same with stepping into Heraclitus's river and to chart it skillfully and whenever possible and wherever possible to your own benefit. I know I didn't explain that river thing. Basically, Heraclitus said that Heraclitus, I don't know the guy's name. I don't know how to pronounce it, dude. Heraclitus. He said that you can never step into the same river twice because both you and the river have changed. So it's like this permanent state of impermanence is what life is, right? A gritty endurance. And through this awareness, you can develop a gritty endurance. Like, you know who you are, you know what you stand for, but you also want to take in new information. It's kind of a nice combination, you know? And it's the only combination that's going to work because you can't control shit, dude. And one day you're just going to be fucking dead, dude. So you got to navigate it while you can. Well, you give people advice on how to stay alive, Danny. You're alone in a studio apartment. All right, honey, relax. This author, whose name I obviously didn't capture, as stated previously during this episode of the podcast, continues. To thrive in our lifetimes and not just survive, we need to transform our relationship with change, leaving behind rigidity and resistance in favor of a new nimbleness, a means of viewing more of what life throws at us as something to participate in rather than fight. You get laid off, you'd be like, fuck them for laying me off. Fucking political bullshit. These companies just want to increase their... All right, dude, let's just... It happened. Let's fucking participate in the moment and continue on. We are always shaping... I'm reading from the article again. We are always shaping and being shaped by change, often at the very same time. Shaping change and being shaped by it. Wow, that's kind of beautiful and deep. I kind of love it. Okay. Last quick quote here. The greater, this is from Epictetus. Dude, I don't know how to pronounce fucking Greek people's names, dude. All right, fine. I'll look it up. Hold on. Hey, I was pretty close. It's Epictetus. Epictetus, a Greek Stoic philosopher. He lived in Rome until he was banished. Homeboy got banished from Rome, kid. Do we know why? We don't. But he died in 135 AD. I'm not looking that up. We're reading a quote. Okay. Epictetus said, the greater the difficulty, the more glory in surmounting it. Skillful pilots gain their reputation from storms and tempests. I love that. And also, Louisa May Alcott has another one of my favorite quotes. She said, I am not afraid of storms, for I am learning to sail my ship. Dude, that's like the culminating scene at like in like Gladiator or Braveheart. I feel like you put that quote right there, and everybody would be like, yeah, fuck yeah. That chick was wise as fuck, dude. All right, thank you for listening to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. Black Cat LES weekly show I run with my buddy Ryan DeColos in New York City on the Lower East Side. It's 172 Rivington. It's a cute little coffee shop. We have great comics. It's really fun. It's really fun, dude. And also, you can follow me on Instagram, Danny Palmer NYC, and the Danny Palmer Show. You know, I have an Instagram page for that as well. I don't really do anything with it because it's kind of boring to me, but like, you know, it's there. It's fucking there, dude. So yeah, hit me up on Instagram. No one ever does. And actually, people have started to hit me up on Instagram ever since I did Oops, the podcast. My podcast doesn't really draw a lot of, you know, chicks sliding the DMs. Oops, they're coming. They're on their way. All right. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, you fucking jerks. Oh, also, thank you for making August the biggest month ever of the Danny Palmer Show and its 4+ year history. Super appreciate it. Love you, Charlotte. Love you, Germany. Love you, fucking Patterson, New Jersey, fucking Austin, Houston, All very sick places. I think Spain's getting up there too. So thanks. All right. Yeah.
Just start off the podcast. No one cares about your stats. Fuck you, dude.